Good evening, everyone. If you want to take our Bible, turn over to Matthew chapter 19. That'll be the basis for our study this afternoon as we consider a story between Jesus and the rich young ruler and how Jesus points out to this rich young ruler one thing that he lacks. Because the rich young ruler comes to Jesus wanting to learn what he must do to obtain eternal life. That's a necessary question we all must have answered. And we recognize that he was on the right path. But something happened along the way where he didn't continue following in what he was doing. You know, what do you think when we think of dedication? We think about devoting ourselves. We think of ourselves as having aligned ourselves with this cause or with a person. Dedication is me giving my all to a relationship. And in particular, we are here tonight because we are dedicated to our relationship with Jesus Christ. We are dedicated to a relationship with God. That's why we are here this evening rather than anywhere else. We are here because we want to worship God with our songs of praise. We want to offer up these prayers to Him. We want to study His Word. That is our dedication because we love Him. We want to learn more about Him. We want to worship Him. We love Him by obeying His commandments. We love Him through these songs of praise. Because He first loved us, we in turn give that love back to Him. We give all of ourselves to Him. We dedicate ourselves fully to Him with our love toward Him. As we get toward the end of Jesus' ministry in the Scriptures, and Jesus gets ever closer to the cross, we see a series of questions that are asked to Jesus. And we go to Matthew chapter 19, and we see one of those questions here. And we see a story here about dedication being lacking, about love being lacking. Because in the end, the rich young ruler did not choose Jesus. Let's talk about that tonight. The story of Jesus' conversation with the rich young ruler takes place in Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 through 30. And so let's take into consideration, first of all, the conversation that happened between Jesus and the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler comes to Jesus with this question in Matthew chapter 19, reading in verse 16, where the rich young ruler approaches, calling Jesus the good teacher and asking about obtaining eternal life by saying, the passage reads, "Now behold, one came and said to him, 'Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life?'" Again, we recognize this is a reasonable question to ask here. What should we do to obtain eternal life? Is that what we're looking for, brethren? Is that what we're looking for? We want to obtain eternal life? We got to ask this question. We got to find the answer to this question. And we see it plainly in Scripture. If we want to obtain eternal life, Jesus is the answer. "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." How so? He died on the cross for our sins. We follow through with the plan of salvation because of that. We obey Him throughout the days of our lives until we die. And then we are judged. So we recognize the knowledge of what we must do to obtain eternal life is of great importance to us. It is readily available to us, but it wasn't readily available to the one back then. And so, the rich young ruler comes and asks Jesus this question, and Jesus responds, verses 17 through 19, by saying in the passage, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. But if you want to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Christ's response, to put it extremely simply, keep the commandments. You want to obtain eternal life? Follow me. Keep my commandments. What I have established And what we read about in Scripture, obey those things. If we do that, we will obtain eternal life. You know, people want to complicate things. People want to say something that isn't there. Or they want to oversimplify things and disregard our obedience, saying that faith is all that you need. But as Jesus says, keep the commandments. Be well-pleasing to God. Do the works that are befitting salvation. Scripture tells us that our purpose is to fear God and to keep His commandments. God has always ever asked of us to revere Him, to obey Him, to love Him. Rich young ruler, he was subject to that as well. He was required to do those same things as well. And the rich young ruler, to his credit, said that he has obeyed since he was a child. Read verse 20. Verse 20 says, the young man said to him, all these things I have kept from my youth. What do I still lack? Another important question is asked here. What am I missing? Something wasn't right. Something was off. What is the missing piece of this puzzle? What do I lack? Jesus said to him, verse 21, if you want to be perfect, go and sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. That's Matthew's account. In Mark's account, you see a comforting thought that is recorded in Mark and in Mark alone. Mark records that Jesus looked at the rich young ruler and loved him. Isn't that something, brethren? Jesus' purpose. Excuse me. We see how God and Christ feel when seeing that we are keeping the commandments, when seeing that we are trying to be well-pleasing to Him. They look on us with love. They recognize their love for us. But we see that something was lacking. Jesus tells the rich young ruler plainly, go and sell all that you have. Give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. You know, Jesus' purpose was to save souls and wanted those who were willing to follow Him to become perfect. He also wanted those who were willing to follow Him to be completely dedicated to Him. Jesus lays out what the rich young ruler needed to do to be perfect. There was something that was holding him back, and that was his great riches. So Jesus tells him, sell your possessions. Have no attachments, no distractions, nothing that's going to take you away from me. Give to the poor. Do good for those that are less fortunate than yourself. This life on earth is temporary. Why should I hoard all the good to myself? Scripture plainly says, if I have the power to do good to one, to another, I should do it. I'm obliged to do it. Take up his cross. Follow Jesus. Commit fully to Jesus. That is what Jesus asked of him. Leave everything behind. You're distracted. Your allegiance is torn between me and this world and the things that are in it. Leave those attachments behind. Follow after me. But this command was one that proved too difficult for the rich young ruler to follow. And he went away sorrowful. Verse 22, onward, it says, when the rich young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. And Jesus said to his disciples, assuredly, I say to you that it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The rich young ruler rejected Jesus at the end of it all. He rejected the command. He walked away from Jesus, and we can assume he walked away forever. And he walked away due to his great possessions. He chose the temporary pleasures of living rather than an eternal relationship with Jesus. Christ went on to state that it is difficult to bring the rich out of their way of living. He compares it to a camel passing through the eye of a needle. It's a hyperbole. It sounds ridiculous when you hear it, but it is noting the immense difficulty in bringing someone who trusts in riches above all else, who trusts in the material rather than God. This is what I know. I know that this job pays me money, that this money I can pay the bills, I can keep the lights on, I can keep the car in the garage. I don't go homeless. Understandable. Understandable. But again, rich young ruler had all that he needed and more. And so that difficulty proved too much. The immense difficulty prompted the rich young ruler to walk away. The immense difficulty prompted the disciples to ask, who can be saved? Jesus would reply to them. Read verse 25 to 26 with me. When his disciples heard it, they were greatly astonished, saying, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said to them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. Jesus gives glory to God by saying that through him all things are possible. We recognize that it's not impossible for all who have earthly riches to come to God. But we got to trust in God. They got to learn to trust in God rather than their riches. Because at the end of the day, where did those riches come from? They'll say it's their hard work. They'll say it's their years of experience. They'll say it's those 80-hour work weeks. Does the glory not belong to God? God is the one that blesses us. We forget that from time to time, brethren. The rich often let the glory go to self and their hard work. But guess what, brethren? Once one recognizes that God is the one deserving of the glory, that's when the change begins. We realize here that the rich young ruler was lacking in his life. And what he was lacking, we see based on what Jesus told him to do. And based as well as what Peter would respond to Jesus saying. Let's break it down. We saw that the rich young ruler was on the right track. He kept the commandments even from a young age. He was dedicated to God for a time. But again, there was that distraction. He kept the commandments. And he was inquisitive of what else he had to do to obtain eternal life. And that was a beautiful opportunity that presented itself. We want that. We want somebody to come to us and say, hey, I'm trying to do the right thing with God, but I think something's missing. Can you help me out here? We want that. We want to help somebody that is spiritually lacking come to realize what they must do and help them fulfill that. This opportunity came to Jesus. And the problem here was when faced with the decision to keep or to give up his earthly possessions, the rich young ruler chose them over eternal life. He chose that temporary greatness. He chose those material blessings over the eternal reward. Jesus told him he would have treasure in heaven. Isn't that greater, brethren? A treasure where something is stored up for us eternally rather than what we store up in our homes or in the storage unit down the street. We realize and understand that in this life, we can have earthly wealth and treasure. And we look at the passages of Scripture that show us great men who were very wealthy in their time, like Job, who was considered the greatest of all the people of the East. Abraham and Lot had so many things that they had to separate from one another to keep order between each other. Solomon asked for wisdom instead of riches, and still became one of the richest kings of his time. While riches are something that we can get, we must realize that can get in the way. And we must remember that our dedication should lie with God first. That's what set these men apart. Although they weren't perfect, for the most part, they were well-pleasing to the Lord. Not always perfect, again, especially Solomon. But the Lord blessed them with great wealth because of their dedication. And we see what Christ expects of us. That if we are truly dedicated to Him, not that we're not allowed to have riches or material wealth, but we aren't to be attached. We aren't to be controlled by such things. That when faced with the decision to choose, when faced with the ultimatum of God or the material, we will be willing to give up the material for Him. If we wish to show our dedication to Jesus, there must be no attachments. Nothing to hold us back from fully following His will. One of the traits that we are to have as Christians is to be like Christ. We're shown in Scripture. What did He do when He came down here? He gave up everything for us. He gave up His home in heaven, leaving it all behind to go to the cross and die. He left His immortality for mortality. He left His spiritual form for a physical form. The glory and beauty of heaven for earth below. Gave Himself up for us. Should we not be willing to give ourselves up for Him? If something is standing in the way between me and Him, I should move that thing that is in the way. Christ came to this earth not concerned with Himself, not coming down to be worshipped by men. Scripture actually says otherwise. And Jesus Himself says, even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve. That's Mark 10:45. And to become a sacrifice for many. After the rich young ruler walks away, after Jesus talks to His disciples, Peter speaks up. He declares how he and the 11 left all to follow after Jesus, saying, verse 27 beginning, Peter answered and said to Him, "See, we have left all and followed You. Therefore, what shall we have?" Again, another interesting question here. They left everything. We remember when Jesus first called His apostles. They left everything. There was no hesitation. There was no second thinking. There was no grabbing at what little they can take with them. Dropped everything and left. James and John left their father in a boat and left. Matthew left his position in the tax office to go and follow Jesus. Verse 28, so Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of His glory, you who have followed Me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for My name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last. And the last first." Jesus answers, there is a reward in store. Jesus says, I see your dedication. I see that you have had to separate from friends, sometimes family, because they stand in your way of a good relationship with God. You've had to leave jobs so that you can come to church more. You have had to say no to certain events and gatherings, knowing that there's a stumbling block there. I see that you're giving things up for Me, Jesus says. That I will reward you for that, Jesus says. And He finalizes it with, many who are first will be last, and the last will be first. Think about that. The rich young ruler. What does mankind place great importance on? Status. Your title. how much money you make, how fancy the car in your driveway is, how fancy the house you live in is, what kind of antiques and knickknacks you got plastered all over your house. That shows off how rich you are. That is what people care about. The rich young ruler cared about that. He was probably considered one of those first, because he could bring people into his home and have feasts and say, look at all this cool stuff I have. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. Peter and the rest of the apostles, who were they? Grunts, fishermen, tradesmen, tax collectors, zealots, people with different backgrounds, different backstories, different problems. And they came together and followed after Jesus. They were poor and uneducated men, but they thrived as apostles of Jesus. The last shall be first. They would be rewarded for what they did for Jesus, for their dedication to Jesus. The question we must ask ourselves is, are we willing to be that dedicated to Jesus? Are we willing to give up all things for Jesus? Anything that stands in our way for Jesus? None of the earthly pleasures or riches are worth the loss of our eternal souls. We are told by Mark in Mark chapter 8, verse 36 and 37, for what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? If you were to rule the entire world, all nations were under your command, everything in the world belonged to you, but you lost your soul, was it worth it? Verse 37, or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? God doesn't want what this world has to offer. You cannot offer anything to God that He wants except yourself. God wants you. God does not want your soul to be lost in eternal condemnation. He wants your soul to be dedicated to Him. All the treasures of this earth, they're going to pass away. There is nothing we can bring from this world into the next. This earth and all that is in it will pass away. While we're allowed to have nice things in life, we should never let those things stand in the way of our walk with God. The rich young ruler, he was on the verge of having access to the eternal home, but let the temporary carry him away. Let the riches of this life, rather than the riches of the next life, carry him away. Let us realize that God wishes for us to be content in this life, because I have something greater for you on the other side. You come to me and I will give you an eternal treasure that can never be taken away from you. No one can serve two masters, we know from Matthew chapter 6 and verse 24, where Jesus himself says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. We talked about this in a previous study, but we must recognize there is no such thing as serving multiple masters. If you want to learn something, if you want to be an apprentice to somebody and learn a skill, you're dedicated to that and that alone. You cannot serve two masters. If you look back in the Old Testament, when Joseph was in Potiphar's house, he did not serve another master from a time to time. He didn't even serve his master's wife. He was loyal only to Potiphar. Potiphar was the only man above him. When Joshua made his stand, he told the Israelites to choose who you're going to serve. They could not have it both ways. They were either going to serve God wholly or not at all. When faced with the dilemma of having to choose God or something else, whether that be riches, whether that be jobs, whether that be another person, someone that's a friend of ours, or anything else that will stand in the way of having a proper relationship with God, we should always choose God. As hard as it may be, And it will be hard. We are told by Jesus himself to deny ourselves and follow after Jesus. Matthew chapter 16, verse 24 and 25. Jesus himself says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Self-denial, that is not the sense that we stop caring about ourselves or that we cannot enjoy the good things in life, but rather, Christ comes first in everything. That is his will before my own. Again, if I'm given the ultimatum of having to choose him or self, I must be willing to choose him every time. We make the statement that we no longer live for this life. We take up our cross and we follow after him. This is my walk now, a walk with Jesus. He carried his cross to Calvary for my sake. I'm going to carry my cross to the end of the line for his. That should be us, brethren. There is nowhere else and no one else that we are going to go to and get eternal life. In John chapter 6, verse 68, after Jesus asked his disciples if they wanted to leave Jesus, because many left Jesus that day because of the things that he was teaching, he turned to his disciples, are you going to leave me also? Peter speaks up, verse 68, and he says, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life that were given to the rich young ruler that day. But he squandered. The words of eternal life that we can read freely in our scriptures here and now today. And recognize, I cannot save myself. There is no human on earth that can save me. Jesus is the only one that can save me. He died on the cross for me. He is the one who went through it all so that we could have eternal life. He rose from the dead so that we could have eternal life. Everything that he did is pointing so that we can believe in him, so that we can trust in him, so that we can dedicate ourselves to him, so that we can love him, and that we can obtain eternal life through him. Looking at this story, we recognize where our dedication needs to lie. Not in riches, not in self-fulfillment, not in anything else that this life has to offer, but in God and in Jesus Christ. We recognize where our love needs to lie. Not in riches, not in self, not in the world, but in God and in Jesus Christ. As we've read already, we're to deny ourselves. I must put Jesus first. That's hard to do sometimes. We get caught up in worldly living. But we must do it. We must show that it is him before me, that it is him before everything else that lies outside these doors. That I'm going to choose him every day of my life until the day that I get to see him face to face. Because we will get to see him face to face. Just as we sang earlier, we will see the King someday. That's a promise, brethren. We are invited to eternal life with Jesus. He has the words of eternal life. He offers us a path to eternal life. He is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. So my question for you this evening, are you dedicated to him? Is he subject to your love? Is he subject to your full devotion? Is anything standing in your way? Whatever your answer may be, if you're here tonight and are not yet a Christian, we want to encourage you to be one. You've heard the word tonight or in the past and have come to believe on it. We want to encourage you to act upon that belief because Jesus is offering you eternal life. He wants you to come to him, and you can. If you repent of your sins, you leave those sins behind. You leave this world behind and follow after Jesus. You confess the name of Jesus as the Son of God and be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. You will be washed free of your sins and be raised to walk a new life with God, fully able to devote yourself to Him. And brethren, it is worth it. And if you're here this evening and are a Christian, but have allowed these distractions in your life, you've allowed these things to take you away from fully devoting yourself to Jesus, make your life right with God tonight. Repent of your sins. Cast away everything that is going to halt your progress, that's going to put a stumbling block in your relationship with God. Put those things aside. Go to God in prayer. Confess your shortcomings to Him. Confess your sins to Him. He will forgive you of those things. He will give you the strength to walk a better life in Him. If you feel the need to confess before your brethren here now tonight, we will not meet you with judgment. We will not gossip about you behind your back. We will meet you with love. We'll put our arms around you because we've been there. We've done that. We'll pray for you. We'll pray with you because we're all trying to get there, brethren. We're all trying to get into the eternal realm with Jesus. We're dedicated to that. We're devoted to that. Let's remind each other of that each and every day. Because we're going to get distracted. We're going to get taken aside. But we can overcome it all together. So if you're subject to the invitation, or if you need the prayers of this congregation for help in any way, please come as we stand and we sing.